Hello and welcome to my new podcast called The Hypnotic Quixotic. I always stumble on that word.
It's 11:30.
Anyway, I have a guest who has chosen to remain anonymous, but he is a dear friend of mine, Mr. Hannon, and we want to talk about things that are important right now to culture and society. And this podcast was created to explore existence, right? And right now in culture, in America, there has been a trend of boycotting particular products for not reflecting values of the majority of Americans. Mr. Hannon, welcome and thank you for joining me.
Pleasure to be here.
Would you start off by talking about the most notable boycott as of right now?
So obviously the one that's just happened was Ben and Jerry's, but the biggest one has been Bud Light, which 6 or 8 weeks ago, really started in mass. And Bud Light had built up their brand to a point where they actually own 64% of the beer market, which is pretty extraordinary considering all the beers and microbrews and everything that is launched, that they could retain that. And it's been so severely damaged because, you know, these companies, Bud Light, Ben and Jerry's, and other big corporate companies are all basically owned by BlackRock or Vanguard. Everything leads back to those two companies. And both those companies are really the, you know, engine of the cabal and have the ability to force whatever values the elites and the cabal want onto us through their subsidiary companies because of their economic stake. But what I think they're finding now, and it's been really interesting because this phenomenon couldn't have existed 20, 25 years ago, is that people are able to band together and decide to have a boycott and have it actually be effective in the tune of billions of dollars. Mm-hmm. And they're able to do that through social media and the internet, which ironically was created by BlackRock and Vanguard through Facebook and other entities to actually track us and control the narrative. So we've actually turned their weapon against them. And now they're, you know, I think panicking. I don't think they expected it.
Right. And what do you say to, I'd like you to comment about the articles that we had discussed previously about how they're saying that Americans are destroying themselves and their history and their Americanism and classic American brands by boycotting and therefore hurting themselves. Don't you think that's like really mental gymnasticking?
Yeah, it's psychological warfare by the very people that are being boycotted. So the people, you know, those, most of those articles are coming out through cabal controlled channels and media. And so they just trying to flip the switch and saying, well, we're just hurting ourselves, when, you know, actually people are very happy to move on from Bud Light and find another beer. They've got 150 choices at any liquor store. And I don't think people are married to, you know, what makes a brand so powerful and successful and creates loyalty are the values behind that. And, you know, when you change your values or go off brand message, you will lose your customer base. And that's been proven. It happened to Target, Ben and Jerry's. It's happened to Bud Light. It just happened to the Los Angeles Dodgers baseball team. Mm-hmm. Who, you know, are now parading a bunch of transsexuals like out in the outfield. And, you know, it's just something where people are saying these aren't our values. And that doesn't make us a bigot or a racist, but, you know, we don't align with your values, so we're not going to use your product.
Right. And it's like saying enough is enough. Keep your antics and your sexual activity to yourselves. Like we don't need to know. It's not like, it's important information. And it, why affiliate that with a brand? What is the larger message that the elite, or how is this going to benefit the elite over Americans?
Well, they've spent the last couple hundred years building up all the institutions to their favor and infiltrating them to affect our consciousness. And that includes, obviously, education, that includes corporate America, that includes Hollywood, media, et cetera, et cetera. And so they've now effectively controlled, I'd say, probably 90 or 95% of all those institutions. So now they're in a position to shove their agenda down our throat and shape our consciousness. And as far as like the trans movement goes, that goes back to just the inversion of, you know, Lucifer and Satan, and basically, you know, destroying the natural, you know, the nature of God, and basically dividing us. You know, if you looked at the percentage of people that are transsexual, it's like 0.0000.1 or less. And now they're trying to take this and make it appeal to 100% of all the consumers out there. And they just don't share those values, you know? And so their plan to divide and conquer us and create discord and make us accept their values is not working.
And what do you think ultimately is the grand plan? Why are they pushing trans? What is
a sexless society? And if you go back and you look at the early depictions of, you know, Baal or Satan or Lucifer, who they believe is their God, whether you believe it or not, or whether the people listening to this believe it or not, that's what they believe. So they believe that, and that is a unisexual goat, and that is their idol. And so that's what they envision to be society, and how they want to transform society into a unisexual society, where eventually in their world, in 100 years or 150 years, there are no male and females. There's just reproduction through, you know, petri dishes and through technology, where they can control who's being born and what their consciousness is, the same way that Aldous Huxley wrote about in Brave New World in 1923, when he wrote about the hatcheries. You know, I think he had it at 2001, where we would just be having babies through hatcheries that the state controlled.
Yeah, it's all about total control and enslavement. And how the trans community, it sort of like folds into transhumanism. Can you explain your thoughts
yes,
on that?
Exactly.
Am I onto something?
I think one of the hardest parts of this to explain to people, because, you know, most people don't believe in Satan and Lucifer. They it's been kind of a caricature, and it's been something that's been kind of taken out of religion and not taught. And, you know, the devil always said that, you know, they don't want people to believe in him, and therefore he can do his works. And so it's been hiding in the shadows, and a lot of people have a hard time like wrapping their head around it, and they'll tune out when they hear that word or even that people believe in it. And what people need to understand is that the people who are behind this and the people who are trying to control our world, they believe in a God called Satan. And that's what they believe. They believe they're taking the orders from this person. And they believe their job on Earth is to fill those orders and to transform Earth in his or her or its wishes. And so that's the part that is hard to explain to a lot of people who just either aren't open to it or don't want to talk about it or don't want to accept it. And so that's the agenda that's just being sort of like thrown out there so heavy right now, because in their mind, they need to complete this by 2030. And that's only, what, 5.5 years, 6 years?
Yeah.
So, you know, they're behind schedule and, you know, they're having to really just go for it and having to really put this in action in a very overt way. And people are noticing, you know, they've been doing it very subtly for a long time now. And now it's now become very overt. And, you know, whether people know it's coming from Satan or not, they just know that it's not aligning with their values.
Right. And that's why Christianity is such like a demonized, pun intended, religion, right? Why they're taking Jesus and God out of everything. And it seems rather Babylonian in nature.
Well, it comes from Babylon. And then also what people have to realize is the Vatican and Christianity has been infiltrated and taken over for many, many centuries. And, you know, if you really study the teachings of Jesus, he was not about a religion and not about even Christianity. In that sense, he was a teacher that was trying to teach us that we're all sparks of God. And, you know, we are very powerful beings that have been tricked and brainwashed, you know, and the people that he was talking to back in, you know, 2000 years ago were very simple, uneducated people that were being dominated by, you know, the elites, the Pharisees and the Romans. And they were, you know, that's why a lot of his parables were very simple and, you know, involved nature and animals and things that the people could understand because, you know, they were so inured and so in the matrix that, you know, they just really had no clue what was going on at all. And so they've definitely captured religion, especially Christianity, and, you know, have used that to further their agenda. And now they're telling churches and people in churches that if they're against the LGBT movement and against the trans movement, to leave our churches. You don't believe in God. You don't believe in Jesus. He's all accepting. So they've really got it coming at us from all angles.
Yeah. And I don't think it's as simple as like, you know, the LGBT whatever movement. They just happen to be the latest pawns on the chessboard to be victimized and marginalized and to be manipulated into being a useful tool to thwart inorganic control over human sovereignty. Would you agree with that? Was that a very...
They are useful tools. They're being manipulated and a lot, most don't understand it, that there's a bigger agenda at foot. And, you know, that's a very powerful, powerful psychological move that they've used to get to where they've gotten this to with, especially the woke community, the people that, you know, have fallen for that trick, hook, line, and sinker. And it's being just beat down their throats at every turn. Like we said earlier, education, media, Hollywood, corporate America. You know, if you're just a sheep and you're just looking at things at face value, then you're being used and tricked. And, you know, it's goes back a lot to what the Nazis did. You know, what's interesting about what the Nazis did, and they did it without TV. They did it with radio and, conferences and, you know, propaganda in newspapers. And it took them 25 years after World War II ended to implement and get rid of a denazification program for the children. Because if you go back and you look at who they were really targeting back then, it was the children and the youth. And if you look at some of those old films, you have youth, 5, 6, 7, 8 year olds marching in the street in their uniforms and their Nazi flags, because that's all they knew. And they had their consciousness captured because their plan was to win the war and to create a Nazified Europe. And the way they were going to do that was through these children who were going to come of age in the next 20, 25 years and carry on the mantle. And so it took these children many, many generations to be denazificated. denazification. And so they were in this situation where, you know, by the 60s and 70s, they were basically, you know, getting back to, you know, their organic consciousness and a lot of shame. You know, a lot of those Germans went through a lot of shame and a lot of heartache and a lot of guilt about what they, you know, were participating in as kids.
Yeah. And it's interesting because we can draw a correlation because they're going after our kids and the education system. And it's the same playbook over again. And it's like, we've never stopped fighting this war from way back to where you were talking about history and the Romans and the perversion and the bastardization of Christianity.
Yeah,
it's like
exactly.
The same war.
They have a playbook and they use it. And the playbook involves turning countries into communist countries, because when you're a communist country, you're much easier to control. And that's the process that's happening in America right now. They're using the same playbook they used in 1959 China, 1917 Russia, 1955 Cuba, 1998 Venezuela. I could go down the list, and it's the same playbook. Wow. And once they get the grips through communism and choke off all of free speech and choke off all of choice and choke off the media and choke off everything completely, to the point where in North Korea, they have one TV channel, one, and that's all you get. So it's not that hard to shape minds and consciousness when you're browbeating them with one message. And what the Germans learned so well, and what Goebbels, the head of propaganda, really perfected, was you tell a lie over and over and over again and big enough, and it becomes the truth.
Right, right. Did people just start parroting it the way that they are the mainstream media without even questioning it? People don't even know why they hate Trump. They just regurgitate everything that they've been taught, right? They're being taught. They're not using critical thinking skills. And it is pervasive. And it is starting with our children. And I feel like this can parlay very nicely or segue into what's going on with child trafficking and how it's Luciferian in nature, and how you were saying that those forces are the impotence or the behind this whole push of massive control is due to Luciferianism, right? Right? Can I circle it back to that? Would you agree with
that?
And then,
if you want to really draw a line back to where all this comes from, it comes from the very people when Jesus came and went into let the Pharisees have it and turn over the money changers and let them know that they were duping the people and that the God that they were promoting to sacrifice their kids to up on the hill was not God. It was actually Lucifer. And they were tricking the people into sacrificing their children on the altar of Baal with a bull. So they built a bull above Jerusalem on the hill above where Jesus was preaching. And you could smell the burnt flesh back then. And the people were tricked into thinking if they would put their child on this bull and roast it and hand it over to the Pharisees, who were the Luciferians, even though they claimed to be the so-called Jewish leaders back then, that they would have a good harvest, or they would, you know, have good luck, or they would get an extra sheep in their, you know, flock. And, you know, it had gone back all the way back then. And so it all does go back to that. And the only way you can understand the bigger picture of this and get out of the micro divide and conquer and bigotry and racism and all the stuff that they've thrown at us to divert us and created all these trap doors and all these like carnival mirrors to confuse us is it goes back to the belief of what these Luciferians believe and what their mission is on this planet. And until you can get that 30,000 foot view and understand it, then it's a little more confusing. Having said all that, I think that the people who are quote unquote going to save this country, if it can still be saved, and the ones who are putting up the fight to fight back, ironically, are pretty much Generation X, because Generation X was the last generation that basically knew life before this total onslaught. And they knew life before the internet. They knew life before this trans movement. They knew life before the huge communism push that's happened. And they knew life before, you know, these teachings could be put out through the internet, through people who knew what was going on. And so, you know, the people that were born between, you know, 67 and 78 or 79 also have the energy. They're in the middle of their life. They're not in an old folks home like the baby boomers who have just checked out right now. And so that those are the people that are going to save this country if it can be saved.
So when you were talking, I was thinking about popular culture and how many people have been exposing the fact that Taylor Swift, Lil Uzi, I don't know these people, like I don't listen to these people, but popular musicians are utilizing really ritualistic stage act, you know, displays, and it's becoming more increasingly apparent. And then I'll see opposition to that, and people say, well, what about Ozzy Osbourne? What about Iron Maiden? What about, you know, all the metal and all the devil references back then? And you know what? Having experienced both, even though I don't actively seek out pop music per se, but I will, if somebody makes a point, I'll watch a clip and I'll say, wow, that's really crazy. That's definitely Luciferian. And the NFL has featured like stage shows that are very ritualistic. And for you, did it feel different in the 80s and Ozzy and all the rock bands, were they involved in pushing this as well? And if so, why am I not buying into the newfangled Luciferianism if I am such an Ozzy fan, which I am? I love Black Sabbath. I love Ozzy. But I do not feel like that negatively enhanced my life in any way, shape, or form.
I think it started in earnest after World War II. And that's when they started to really kick it into high gear and started to get their people in place. And, you know, the Tavistock Institute and the CIA were both created right after World War II, both psychological manipulation operations and very effective at weaving their magic. So yeah, I do think it started, and I do think that those people were
tools. They were tools.
Yeah, they were tools. And I think that, you know, we were so asleep and so you know, unconscious back then that the effects were subtle, but I think that they were lasting. And I think that now that I'm breaking out of the trap, so to speak, I can look back and see certain things. Like, people forget that the Beatles in 1964 had an album cover where they had babies, baby dolls that were on their laps that were cut up in pieces and covered in blood. That was 1964.
Oh,
that was,
yeah,
an album cover.
I saw that.
And so, you know, this has been going on for a long time. And, you know, the enemy is very patient. The enemy has a plan. The enemy knows they can't move too quickly because they don't want to alert us. You know, that's the big thing about communism, is it's a slow walk to the slaughterhouse. Because you can't see the slaughterhouse from too far away or you're going to run the other way. So they have to slow walk you into it. And the issue that they're having now is that, you know, whether you like them or not, the Trump revolution, more than anything, just really awakened people. And he's sort of this catalyst for thinking differently and critical thinking, and this person who's not afraid to say certain things that are the truth but are hard to hear. And so he really put a dent in their plan, and that's why they hate him so much, because he's really awoken up a lot of people, and a lot of people in that age group that I just told you about that are saying, wait a second, we don't want to march into the slaughterhouse. You can call us anything you want. You can call us white trash. You can call us bigots. You can call us KKK members, but we don't care. You can call us deplorables, but like, we're not going to just walk into your slaughterhouse.
Yeah, it is a slow burn. And what the end goal is, obviously complete and total technocratical enslavement. And it's like, to what end? What good is that going to do anyone? What is the point of it? And why are they so greedy? What do you think? Like, it's just like the ultimate sacrifice to all?
Yes. At the end of the day, yes. It's not even about money. And that's why Bud Light and these companies and BlackRock, who has so much money, like, even if they're losing this money, I have a theory that, like, it's not even about the money necessarily for them. And it is about what you just said, that there is an end goal, that they've been promised everlasting life. They believe this. They believe that their riches on earth have come from this. They believe that their good fortune has come from this. They believe that their good fortune in the afterlife will come from this. And they are set to, it's the same thing the Nazis did. There were a lot, millions and millions of soldiers and people that participated in that war that were promised things and did things that were against their natural instincts. But the promises and the propaganda and the coercion was so powerful that they were able to literally, I think Germany had a population of 52 million during the 40s and 30s, or 50 million, to brainwash almost an entire country to get behind their sinister agenda. Wow. And that just shows you how powerful it is. And you know, there was a lot of Nazism and voodoo. I mean, sorry, there was a lots of Luciferianism and voodoo and the Vril Society that were behind the Nazis that don't get talked about a lot. And, you know, a lot of that came down to that. And so, no, I don't think it's just about the money or market share or even, you know, control. I think it's just pure evil.
Human sacrifice.
Yes.
It's about sacrificing organic human life to the point where it's like some weird fantasy. It's so barbaric and evil and strange, because Christianity's the celebration of life, you know, and organic living, like being a fully organic human being, sans technological, right, enhancement. And what is your view on Elon Musk and all of this?
Well, I just wanted to add something really quick, that what people have to understand is, since the beginning, literally since Sumeria, since the 200 fallen, so-called fallen angels came down on Mount Hermon and, you know, went around to basically invert everything that the God that they were rebelling against created. So it all goes back to inversion, because they can't create anything, but they can invert it. So let me give you an example. Van Gogh can paint a great painting. He's a creator. but the Satan couldn't create that painting. But what he could do is he could come in and then invert that painting and do certain things to it to, you know, work towards his magic, to his will. And so what they did, those 200 fallen angels, is they ran around the earth and they became these gods, Zeus, Poseidon, you know, the list goes on and on, you know, through all the cultures, different names, different dress, different garb, but same message is basically inversion. So going back to the transsexual thing, yes, it goes back to inverting. That's the ultimate goal. And if you can invert everything, the upside down cross, you know, the standard hotel in LA, which they shut down, where they were doing the rituals in the basement, right when you walked in there, and I walked in there for many, many years, the standard logo was an upside down, the standard. And now I know symbolism. When you don't know the symbolism, then you're acquiescing in their way to walking in there and participating in their magic, because they can say, well, we put the sign upside down. We told you what we were doing. You know, there was an upside down cross there, you know. It's sort of their perverse way of like getting out of their karma. And so, you know, whether you believe in Q or not, one of the things that I always took from it was symbolism will be their downfall. And so this education about symbolism has been very, very effective, I think, in basically waking people up to understand, you know, what they're walking into. If you're walking into a house that has a bunch of owls and gargoyles, you know, peering down at you from their mansion rooftops, you know that you're entering into a place that, you know, is Luciferian. That's what they're telling you. And so, you know, it's important to understand these things, because we're not taught these things. We didn't know these things. And so I don't know how else to say it other than that you are completely correct in saying that it all goes back to that. And until people can understand that and accept that and actually realize that that's what these entities are trying to achieve, then it's going to be very difficult to overcome it.
Yeah, and we both saw the movie The Sound of Freedom, and I mean, I mentioned Elon Musk before, but maybe that's not appropriate at this moment in the conversation, but I was thinking about transhumanism and the erasure of male, female, organic, you know, fertile human beings are creating, right? They don't want us creating. And the ultimate sacrifice is us, right? Our freedom, and to eradicate us as organic humans. And then that includes, let's fold in child trafficking, because that's really an ultimate sacrifice. And that has become a very pervasive problem in the global society. It's not only in America, it happens to be really prevalent in America, but it's prevalent across the globe. And the whole globe is dealing with this Luciferian push. It's not only America, but America, I think, is front and center because we're perceived as the freest country on the planet, right?
Well, we're the biggest kid on the block. America is the biggest kid on the block. So if they can conquer America, then they rule the world. It's kind of the last bastion of any sort of fighting back in having this world not become totally 100% draconian, Luciferian. And I just wanted to mention what you were saying about the kids. You know, Mayor Hillary Clinton used to run around in the 90s and say it takes a village to raise your kids. You know, things like that, that were preparing us and shaping our consciousness, that the kids don't belong to the parents, that they belong to the state and the school system. And so, you know, they've been really working on, you know, like I said, more. Yeah, exactly. For a long time now. They can't come out and say, we want your kids to sacrifice them to the devil and it's the ultimate louche. So they have to find other ways to say it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very mind-blowing for anybody who hasn't really looked into what's been going on since 2020. 2020 sort of smacked the world in the face. And the fact that these demons were able to shut down an entire planet, and that's the way that I look at it, is this is planetary, global, if you will. The enormous power of this system, of this Luciferian system, is mind-blowing. And you've made it make sense biblically, historically, and politically, which is very hard to do, and I really appreciate that. But it's quite terrifying that they were able to mind control billions of organic human beings into this Luciferian walk 6 feet apart. Wasn't that sort of like some kind of ritual that has been practiced throughout centuries?
It's not only a ritual, but the whole thing about the 6 feet was our heart chakra extends 6 feet, and our pineal gland and our intuition and energy etheric fields are basically 6 feet, where we're organically from the organic human that we were born with. We were very much like animals and who have that instinct, like a dog has an instinct. My dog knows the difference between a domesticated dog and a coyote in a second.
Yeah.
And that comes from its instinct, and it comes from its God-given instinct. I can't think of a better word. And so, you know, what the Luciferians understood through their priests and through their master was, you know, the one thing about Lucifer, while he's not, can't create anything, the fallen angels aren't as powerful as God, they do have the knowledge of the universal law, and they do understand what a human is and how consciousness can be shaped. So they are very bright in that sense, and they are very manipulative, which is why the pharaohs surrounded themselves with the wizards and magicians behind them that could manipulate energy and give them a whisper in their ear and let them know how to control the people and the kind of things they needed to do to manipulate the people and keep them in bondage, which Moses understood because he grew up in the palace of the pharaohs, even though he was adopted. And when he, you know, so he was sort of the perfect agent of change for leading the people out of slavery, because he understood from the inside what these people were doing and had the knowledge and powers from being around these wizards and magicians and priests who were basically passing their knowledge through the secret societies from generation to generation, but keeping them from the populace. Wow. So Moses, and I kind of look at Trump in the same way, he grew up with these people, whether he was one of them at one point and then decided to turn the other way. Don't know his background enough to know what he did in his private life. But one thing I do know is he understands what these people are doing, and he may have even participated in it for some time or was just hiding out observing. But either way, we have free will. And for whatever reason, he made the choice. Moses made the choice. King David made the choice. Solomon made the choice. All these people were flawed people that were actually on the other side before they decided to see the light or do what they felt was right in their heart or woke up from the programming. And God used these people to lead their respective people out of slavery. And that doesn't just mean baking big rocks into small rocks and being chained to a post. That's like consciousness slavery. So slavery is not just, you know, working 15 hours in the field. It's also being enslaved in your consciousness to believing certain things, believing your limitations, believing you need these leaders, believing that you're supposed to be a slave. So, you know, in that sense, you know, there are change agents that are on Earth, and you know, they're on missions. And so, like I said, I've never judged somebody because I don't know, but I do know that the Bible is full of imperfect and sometimes downright scummy leaders who decided to do the right thing at some point in their life.
Yeah, that's a great point. And Christ isn't like, so would you say that traditional Christianity, like the way it was meant to be, was to empower all of us in our godlike qualities and to understand that we have tremendous potential as people, and that it's not necessarily we have to praise or this deity, we have to praise ourselves and free ourselves from Luciferianism.
To me, that was his central message, now that I've come to learn at my age after many years. His central message. And it was not about religion. Mm-hmm. It was not about even like church or anything like that. I think that that was his central message. And his central message was that, you know, the people had been tricked that the God that they were actually worshiping wasn't like the creator, the God of creation. It was these false gods who had tricked the people through their universal knowledge of manipulation and their extreme hatred for humanity. And that's, you know, his message got perverted. People also have to realize that the Bible was rewritten many times by the very people that Jesus was condemning. So it's very confusing. You have to find the truths in the Bible. There are some truths in there, but they used it to their advantage and to confuse people too. So we don't know exactly what happened. And so it takes a lot of discernment. It takes a lot of connecting the dots. It takes a lot of going deep inside you into finding your truth. And that's what I think is happening right now with this great awakening is, yes, some of it's political, but I think in the bigger picture, it's going back to what I personally believe Jesus was teaching, which was what you just said, encapsulated so well. And ultimately, what's going to save us is not voting, not politics, not governors, not even presidents. It's going to be getting back to our divinity and finding a way to use that to get out of this mess that we're sort of in the fourth quarter, to use a football analogy, going back to what you said, the NFL is very Luciferian. All of what they did in Rome with the bullfights and the fighting in the Colosseum, the bread and circuses, was just all distraction. And, you know, to focus our consciousness there and not on what me and you are talking about right now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like I said, this has been passed down literally since Sumeria, and it's been passed down very secretly, never got out to the public, has been, you know, punishable by death if you started talking about it, if you were one of them. And, you know, that's why people are saying, well, why are all these CEOs being killed? And why are all these whistleblowers being killed? And why are they trying to kill Trump and destroy Trump? And why are they going after, they're going after these people because these people are starting to turn on them and they're starting to try to get the truth out. And that's punishable by death.
Wow. Sheesh, it's like overwhelming. It truly is. But it's like overwhelming because of the many prongs of the plan in terms of the matrix, because it extends itself through music, art, television, culture, books. It's like, it's not, they're taking our free imagination and twisting it to thwart a narrative, therefore destroying art. Do you understand what I'm saying?
They're getting us, they're tricking us to do their will.
They're bidding.
Yeah. So remember when George Bush Sr. always used to say in his speeches, 1,000 points of light? Do you remember that?
No, I don't.
It was his big phrase that back then everybody didn't really understand it, but he kept saying 1,000 points of light, 1,000 points of light. Well, there's 1,000 things that they have to do. And Lucifer was the god of light, right? The bearer of light, the Illuminati, the light. Mm-hmm. 1,000-point plan to get to control Earth that they had to do.
Oh my gosh.
So when you say it's coming at us from literally 1,000 different areas of the war.
Wow. So now more than ever, what would be like a great message to unify people other than this great knowledge that you've shared today, which I think is going to clear up a lot of questions for so many people? Because people are wondering, what's the end all be all? What is the point of all of this? And it's very like Babylonian and mystical. And I don't even know that I would say that it's based in religion. Is Baal a religion? I don't know. What would you classify it as? Like this this ultimate sacrifice to, for the people that are doing this, for them to live forever, to have the ultimate, what it, the ultimate reward is what? Life forever?
On 3D Earth,
power?
On 3D Earth, it's been cobbled together and put stitched together as religion. But I think in the bigger picture, it comes down to exactly what you just said. And that's the promise that's been made. And that's the protocol that they're following. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're getting their orders from, lack of a better words, off entity, off world entities.
Yeah, and it's so easy. It's so easy to blame religion.
Yeah.
That's like the big scapegoat for everything. Everybody just give up religion. It's not, you know, it doesn't. Like for me, it doesn't feel like a religion. It feels like a science fiction, evil, what you were saying, off-world entity. So who would you say, if you could guess, right? Not humans, but who is behind this big push for complete enslavement of the sentient humans?
To me, it's the 200 entities that landed their spaceship on Mount Hermon and basically tried to take over the world and invert God's creation because they were so angry at him or it or her or whatever God is, but they definitely rebelled against it. And, you know, they're doing everything they can to get back at him. And that's the ultimate goal, is to take what was created to be an Eden and a place for, I think our natural temperament is very peaceful. We're telepathic. I think we're supposed to meant to live in small tribes with a group of leaders that not just one leader, that all have a say, sort of like the Native Americans lived and a lot of the tribal native indigenous cultures, which again, the Luciferians tried to wipe out as much as they could because they knew that they were very connected to source. So I think that they had a lot, were very, very powerful. And it's taken them a long time to get to where we are now, and we're not completely conquered yet, even though they're very close to completing their plan. And, you know, if they can get rid of, like the Georgia Guidestone said, every human but 500 million, so which means that they'd have to kill, what, 7.1 billion people, and have 500 million left to be their slaves. That's their ultimate goal. So that's as the orders come down from these fallen angels to what they want to see on Earth in exchange for all the riches and all the power and everlasting life. I think at the end of the day, that's the ultimate goal. And then from there, the pyramid works down and down and down and down, because you have people in middle management of corporate America who might not know the exact full plan, but have taken a 6 or 7 figure job and have probably hurt children and done other things that they regret so they could make a good living on Earth. And that's their trade right there, because they're promised a good job and a good living if they do what they're told. They may not know about the bigger plan, because I think that the only people that know about the bigger plan are the people at the very top of the pyramid, or what you want to call the 33rd degree Masons, or whatever you want to call the top. And then from there, they have millions of people working for them who ultimately, maybe if they found out about the bigger plan, they might defect. And I think that some of them are defecting. And I think some of them are being killed. And they're not being killed by the white hats, they're being killed by the black hats. And so, because you're sort of signing your oath in blood. So, yes, going back to what you said, it's an off-world plan that they're using humans on Earth to implement, with the promises of riches and everlasting life and full power and unlimited louche.
What is louche energy?
So this is a topic that can be hard to talk about because it's so foreign to most people, but it is real. It does exist. And when you know about it, you can trace back a lot of things that have happened in life to this. So between 3D, where we are, and 5D, which is in the Bible what they call heaven, and that's the ultimate goal, is for us to transform our society and our earth from 3D to 5D, which is why Jesus always said heaven on earth. So it is an earth, 5D, with people who look like us and are us, but it just doesn't have any low frequency or demonic satanic beings on it, because they can't exist in that ether. It doesn't, the frequency doesn't work. It's like a radio channel. Like if you're in a spot where you can't get the radio on in your car, that means that you know, you can't get the frequency from the station to your car because it's being blocked by something, a mountain or a forest or whatever. So it's like that. They can't exist there. So when they die in 3D, their spirits, for lack of a better word, go to 4D, which is in between 3D and 5D. And they circulate there and are able to communicate with their fellow demons or Luciferians on Earth through these rituals, through the alchemy of blood. And they can manifest through these rituals. They don't do these rituals just because they think they're fun. There's a purpose to them, and that is to access these entities that can materialize again in 3D. So what louche is the way that they're fed and kept alive in 4D, because they're not bodies who eat food. They're entities that absorb energy to stay alive, and the energy that they need to stay alive is suffering, pain, depression, anxiety, and fear. So picture going to a steakhouse when you're really hungry and having a steak and potatoes and mashed potatoes and green beans and shrimp cocktail and a couple of glasses of wine, and how you feel after that. Well, that's what killing a kid or having a war on Normandy Beach or having people in fear of a pandemic creates, that energy, which then is absorbed by these entities, and they can then stay robust and alive. And then through the rituals, they can manifest into a version of humans where then they can feast on flesh.
Wow.
So they eat two ways. They eat after they've been materialized through the rituals, where they can drink the blood and eat the flesh. And they need to be fed when they're not material beings by the low frequency energy, which is why they have to keep us in fear and depression and confusion and anger and all those frequencies that we are not naturally supposed to be operating in. I think, like I said earlier, we're very peaceful beings that are very friendly to one another. We're not meant to fight. We're not meant to have religion. We're not meant to be selfish. So in that sense, that's why I think that, you know, people say, well, why would they kill these kids? Why are they doing this? What's the point? Are they, you know, who would ever do anything like that? Well, there's reasons for it. And that's the reason.
Wow. In your opinion, that the people that are involved in the business of it and participate in the terrible rituals, are they fallen angels? Are they demons? Are they human beings? Because to me, they feel like demons. They don't, because I feel like human beings wouldn't do this sort of thing.
I think that the higher level, I mean, look, I have no concrete answer for that necessarily, but for my study and my teachings, that it is possible to, when you're doing these rituals, that when you're summoning these demons, they can take over the people who are doing the ritual. So let's just say you have a group of politicians in a room who are sacrificing a child to their gods in 4D. There's good evidence that those demons can take over the person in that ritual who can then enjoy the feasting on the sacrifice. How long they stay in that person and if they go back and forth, I do not have an answer to that. My suspicion is yes, they can. And these people are hosts, almost like the movie Invasion of the Body Snatchers, which was a movie that scared me to death in the 70s. And now I think I know why. And that's what I think the metaphor was in that movie, is that, yeah, I do think that they have a ritual, and that's why it goes back so far in history, that they can then become human again and enjoy those human experiences by taking over this vessel. And they can either go back and forth or they can just occupy that vessel and then they're like alive again. And that goes back to like everlasting life, right? If you can move between the 3D, between the 4D and the 3D through these rituals, then you do have everlasting life, because then you can take over bodies century after century after century after century. And look, it's not a coincidence that the vampire myths, the vampire had to drink blood to live forever. And what killed the vampire? The light. So you asked me earlier, what's going to ultimately get us out of this mess? Well, we learned from the French Revolution and World War I and World War II and every war we've ever had that killing people and putting their heads on sticks doesn't really change anything, because you'll never kill them all. They'll always manifest. 3D Earth is a duality, free will planet that will always have evil on it. So the way I see it, and I take this from the vampire myths, is that the only way to kill it is shining a light on it. And that's what the phrase dark to light comes from, was they lose their power once we shine the light on them, like cockroaches. When you open a door that's dark, you don't see the cockroaches. But if you get a flashlight, then they scurry into the corner. That to me is how we do it. So that's through awareness. That's through consciousness. That's through knowing their symbolism. That's from knowing their tricks, from knowing their magic, from understanding their plan. And once you understand all that and resist it, then that's how I think you win. We win.
Okay. That sounds like a very empowering way to wrap up this podcast. Thank you so much for your take on what's actually happening in the world, because I think a lot of people are confused, myself included, And just when you think you have a handle on something, something else happens and you're like, oh my gosh, I have to come up with a whole new, you know, perception or theory or, you know, conclusion, because it's so confusing and everything is inverted and everything that's right seems wrong. And we know with all of our heart and with all of our compassion and with all of our common sense that whatever is happening is not good. And you've just confirmed that with what you believe is going on. And I want to thank you so much for your time and for your knowledge. And you've made this so comprehensible for somebody like me. And I think that a lot of people will be fascinated by this information.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm honored. And I will just close by saying with what you just said is goes back to what George Bush Sr. always used to say, who was basically the very high ranking part of this plan in America, the Bush family, going back to Nazi Germany. They've been handed a lot of power to execute this plan on Earth. And he would say 1,000 points of light. Again, what that translates into is they're attacking us in 1,000 ways, 1,000 different means. And yes, it is overwhelming because once you think you have one thing figured out, you don't realize that there's 999 other things to work out. Then there's 998 things to work out. And it's coming at us from all directions. And
it's 1 o'clock. It's,
let's just say that there's a reason why I think the second most word used in the Bible by Jesus was the word discernment. And this is a time where it's very difficult to have discernment. What's real? What's fake? Mm-hmm. Who's on your side? Who's fooling you? Who's a wolf in sheep's clothing? Who's playing both sides? Who's a triple spy? Who has their heart in the right place? It's very difficult.
So what's a last unifying message for humanity and for people in general?
Pay attention. Use your consciousness. Be aware of what's going on. Connect the dots. Don't take what I'm saying or what you're saying or what anybody else is saying as complete 100% truth. Take the information and become a detective and connect the dots. My information comes from not one source. It comes from millions of sources, maybe not millions, but hundreds and hundreds of sources that I have cross-referenced and put a puzzle together and connected the dots. You know, when we were kids, we used to play with puzzles, and they don't do that anymore. And that's a really good mind building, conscious building activity that the cabal doesn't want us to do anymore. Playing video games is not a very solid way to develop critical thinking and a bigger picture. When you're building a puzzle, you have to use those skills. Mm-hmm. So those skills are being purposely stripped from us over these last few generations. And so it's becoming harder and harder for people to put the picture together. And until you put the puzzle together and understand what's going on, it's very difficult to rebel against it, because they like to put us in silos and they like to compartmentalize things. And so, you know, that's what the media did so well for so long. And, you know, when Trump says that the media is the enemy of the people, like, he's absolutely right. And what attracted me to him was actually that phrase. And, you know, that was what kind of helped me kind of come around a little bit to him, because I was not a fan of his in the 80s and 90s. I didn't watch his shows. I didn't read his books. I walked by Trump Tower every day on the way to work. And wouldn't say I was negative about him, but I kind of thought he was a little bit of a buffoon and a carnival barker, and he was just not my kind of a person. But like I said earlier in this, I've come to my conclusion that somewhere down the line, he had a shift and took on his role. And we all have our role, and he found his. And I think that from where I'm sitting, I think he's been very effective in his role. And his role is not to be a perfect person, not to be necessarily a nice person. I think his role is to shine a light on the people that we're fighting. And I'll close by saying one of my favorite quotes in history was from, I believe, I get this mixed up sometimes, but the Plato, who said, sometimes you have to judge a man by his enemies. And I look at Trump's enemies, and they're the very people that I consider our enemies.
Wow, that's a great ending. Thank you so much.
Have a great day. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.